Good morning, church.
Yes.
Yes, I got a yes from the front row. That's exciting. I am obviously not Pastor Sally. I wish I was. I think she's sitting on a beach somewhere. I'm in Puerto Rico, which is awesome, but also doing mission work in honor of our church. Don't think she's spending the whole week on the beach. My mom's with her there, too, and I was so excited to be able to send them off on Friday and pray over them, and they're going to do such great work in the name of this church, in the name of Jesus. So be praying for her this week and that team. They have asked me to share with you this morning, and we are going to continue the sermon series that we started. We're in week 3 of New Year and New Choices, in which we're looking at individuals that have made a choice in their life that has changed the way they see and do things. And so we're going to continue with the story that Sally talked about last week, which was with Moses. And we're going to kind of fast forward about 40-ish years. After Moses left Egypt, after he killed the Egyptian, defended one of his Hebrew people, he went to Midian and was a shepherd for 40 years, and then received a call by God through a burning bush and to return to Egypt to set the Israelites, his Hebrew people, free. And so Moses has come back, and he has talked and bargained with God, and not bargained with God, bargained with Pharaoh. Probably there was some bargaining with God and through this process. And then God sent the 10 plagues, and then the last one took Pharaoh's son, and that finally broke Pharaoh and heart and broke his heart and finally said, take him. Take, go, just go and leave me. And so now Moses has been walking with over 2 million of the Israelites through the desert, which that blows my mind anything. I feel like that would be herding 2 million cats. Could you imagine? But the Bible says there was 600,000 men. So if you count children, women, grandparents, all of that is about 2 million people, and they've been walking in the desert for about 3 days now. And that's where our scripture comes into play, where Jack's going to share with us.
The scripture is taken from the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 5 through 14. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed towards the people, and they said, "What have we done letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 picked chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out boldly. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, his chariot drivers and his army. They overtook them, camped by the sea at Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So in hearing in that song and hearing in our scripture, it talked about fear. Even though it didn't say the word in that scripture, it talked about fear. We're all familiar with fear in some way or another. We just might call it a different name. We might be scared. We might be anxious. We might be worried. We might be stressed. I always talk about, "Oh, I'm really stressed right now." But that's just another name for fear. The Bible uses the word fear and unafraid over 400 times. And the words do not be afraid, the way Moses calmed those fears in the Israelites, over 140 times. When the Bible was written, there was a lot to be afraid of during that time, including war, rulers, drought, famine, death, childbirth, wild animals, natural disasters. And these are still some things that elicit fear in our life today. But why do we have fear? God created us. It would have been nice just if he just like excluded that part when he created us. But we have fear. As Adam Hambleton talks about in his book, Unafraid, he discusses how fear is innate in our bodies. Much like worry and anxiety and fear, it comes from our two brain stems that are designed for our protection and self-preservation. We know these as our fight or flight responses. Adam continues and explains, this response is our body's smoke detector. If you're like me and you're cooking bacon or pretty much anything in the kitchen, before I even know it's burning, my smoke detector is blaring in my ear. So this smoke detector, this fight or flight response, is detected when a potential threat, before we even know it, before we can even process it, is already sounding those alarms. Hormones are released in our body, cascading, where it shuts off function to certain blood to other muscles so you can run, you can react. Our blood pressure goes up. You start sweating on weird spots. My pupils dilate. I start talking really fast. But this is just our body's way of preparing it for a threat. It's our natural response. Now, not all fears are scary. We have some healthy fears. Like, for instance, fear of heights. That's healthy in a reasonable way. It allows you not to get too close to the edge. You have a fear of falling off a bike, so you put a helmet on. When you're in the car, when you're driving, you put a seatbelt on. Because you're scared if you're in an accident, I'd be safer if I have a seatbelt on. I have a fear of poverty, so I save money and be a little more diligent with our finances. God has created our body with natural responses and to naturally sense fear and to avoid danger. But what happens when we feel fear and make our choices out of fear? What happens when fear starts to control our lives, our emotions, our interactions with other people, our relationships, our social life, our walk with God? In Scripture today, we find a perfect example of two ways to look at fear. You can either make a choice out of fear or out of faith. Now, Moses and the Israelites were in the exact same point at the exact same time when the Egyptians were coming towards them. They probably felt the rumbling of the ground as the chariots are coming. They saw the evil in the Egyptians at the exact same time. Their bodies reacted in the exact same way, hopefully. I'm alluding this. This is my, but their hormones, their blood probably started pumping. I'm sure there was some sweaty palms, and they were starting to get scared. But they had two different reactions. The Israelites responded with fear, challenge, and disbelief. They had just witnessed God's deliverance of the enslavement. They had witnessed God's wrath through the plagues. And now they were walking through the desert by walking with God. And they knew that because they had a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had just witnessed God's glory and are walking right beside him. But all of a sudden, that ground starts to shake. They start to sweat in weird spots. They see, they face their fears, and they're scared. And they respond to Moses and say, why did you bring us out here? We were just fine. We're just fine in Egypt. We really were. We were just fine. It's really interesting if you look at Scripture, which Jack shared with us, they no longer refer to their slavery as bondage. They use the word serve instead of a slave. They start justifying their old life, what they're familiar with, what they're comfortable with. They're like, oh, they didn't beat us that bad. Oh, we got to serve Pharaoh. It was our pleasure. We got to, let's go back and serve him. I enjoyed that. That serving was awesome. All of a sudden, that fear is controlling their common sense. They're starting to rationalize. Has anybody ever done that? I've done it a lot. My brain always, when I get, not always, but most of the time, I get stress and anxiety, and my head starts spinning, and I start sweating, and I'm like, okay, if this happens, is this going to happen? And, well, you know, like yesterday, I was driving to the airport. Probably wasn't the best time to be driving to the airport, but it was icy. I started getting sweaty palms, holding that wheel real tight with the wind and the rain and the ice. And I was like, well, I'm just going to wreck the car today. All of a sudden, I already jumped to the worst case scenario. I'm like, well, we're going to wreck the car, and then we're not going to be able to afford to buy a new car, and then we're just going to be in poverty, and then we're just not going to be able to do anything. And it's just, my brain just all of a sudden, I'm like, well, if I just would have stayed at home, I would have been fine. I would have skipped a very important meeting, but it'd been fine, whatever, it's fine. I already started jumping to the worst case scenario. I already started justifying my choice. I let fear control those reactions. I think it's also interesting that the Israelites did the same thing. They jumped to the worst case scenario. The first thing out of their mouths was like, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? All of a sudden, they went from going to the promised land, celebrating, being excited, that they're just going to die. They quickly jumped to that worst case scenario. It's really hard sometimes to think about this in our own lives. We can be like the Israelites, challenging God, constantly struggling. But when things are going great, I'm like them dancing after being released from Pharaoh. You're excited. You're on fire for God. You're like, God's great. I'm blessed. This is awesome. This is great. And I'm willing to share with other people about it. And I'm like, you know, God's blessed me so I can bless others. We're comfortable. We're good. But when things start getting a little stressful, that anxiety starts creeping up. Sometimes I sit and I've said things to God that I'm not proud of. I've got frustrated with God. I've cried so hard, praying prayers of healing that I wanted to happen. And I stepped away from God, just like the Israelites did. I ignored that pillar of fire, that pillar of smoke that was right beside me. All of a sudden, I was by myself. And that's how I felt. But the blessing is that we're not alone. And like the Israelites, they weren't alone. They had Moses. God gave them Moses. And Moses reacted to the same fear, the same situation, but differently. He reacted out of faith. In my mind, and reading the scripture and looking at it, when Moses saw the Egyptians coming towards him, I think that he took a big, deep breath. Okay, God, said a little prayer, and then immediately went to the people that are in need, immediately addressed their fears. Didn't go and be like, wait a second, guys, I need to get a plan together. We got to figure this out. I need to talk with God. I need to go up. I need to have some quiet time. No, he immediately went and talked to the Israelites and said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. God is going to fight for you today. You only need to be still. I love that phrase. You only need to be still. When I get scared, nervous, anxiety, you can ask my husband, I run around the house. Like, I have to do something. I start tapping. I start doing something. I have to move. I wear a hole in our hardwood floors from pacing and trying to think about things. But God reminds us we need to be still. Stop for a second, pause for a moment, and breathe. I believe this is our first step in working towards responding out of faith, not fear. But we need to remember that fear is normal. God created our bodies to feel fear. But we need to see that fear as our smoke alarm, our smoke detector. And not the way we should go with our lives. We see it as an alarm, a trigger to make an action, make a decision, make a choice, and then let faith guide that choice and not those emotions. Take a moment and be still first, and then follow those emotions. God never intended us to go through our lives or face challenges alone. God gave the Israelites Moses. And if they probably didn't have Moses, I guarantee you, I don't know if they made 3 days in the wilderness. But when those Egyptians were coming, they probably would have surrendered. They'd be like, yes, I'll do whatever you say. And I'm sure Pharaoh probably wouldn't be that nice to them. The Israelites would never have watched God's power when he parted the Red Sea and watched them go across. They would have never made it to the land of milk and honey. Now, Moses had his own support system. He had Aaron, his brother, that helped guide him through the conversations with Pharaoh, through the plagues, and through guiding these people through the wilderness. By having this support and this guidance, Moses was allowed to overcome his fear through community with his brother and God and go up to the most powerful man in the world at that time. Pharaoh was seen as a god. He could do no wrong. He had the ultimate power. And Moses was able to go before this man and say, you know those people, you know that slave labor that's building your pyramids right now? You know that, like, 2 million people? I'm just going to take them. I'm just going to take them. We're going to leave town, and you're not going to see them ever again. So we're going. Could you imagine? I can barely even confront an angry person on a phone without getting nervous. I couldn't imagine doing that, but he did with the support and with his faith in God. Ephesians 2:8-9 describes faith as a gift. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but is a gift from God. A gift. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't create faith in us. God gives it to us. And it is a certainty that we of things that we do not see. Faith is the absolute belief that God is constantly working behind the scenes in every area of our lives, even though we don't have that pillar of fire and that pillar of smoke to walk by every time. I wish I did. That'd be awesome. I would have an unlimited supply of s'mores all the time. But I'm one of those people that I want that. I want a big sign. I want to know that I'm going the right direction. But we need to be certain. We need to have faith. In Hebrews 11, it says, certain of what we do not see is faith. I think that's very powerful. And the Holy Spirit works with us with our faith. It is through the Holy Spirit we have the faith. And Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I really like how it says faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control and gentleness to ourselves and to others. And having self-control so we can have that strong faith. So we can let fear not control us. So how do we have a faith like Moses and not be like the Israelites, switching from faith and fear as the wind blows? From my experience, I must name my fear. I must acknowledge it. I must understand it. In the book Floodgates, Sue Nelson Kibbe talks about fear. And she talks about how we can be a fearless church. And she says, call fear's voice whatever name it works for you, but name it. Without bringing yourself into awareness of this fear, it'll keep speaking those soothing rationalizations, all of which sound perfectly legitimate reasons for validating your inaction, for staying right where you are. And then you'll miss out on the potential for which God has personally designed you on your path for transformation. Be relentless in your quest to dig deep and identify that type of fear-driven rationalization in which you're susceptible to. When we can name our fears, we can respond to them better. You can hear their warning signs, and you can understand the precautions that you need to take. Just like when you hear a tornado siren going off, you know what to do. You know what precautions to take. If you're anything like me, I'm in the basement long before the thunderstorm has even arrived. But we need to understand what our fears do to us. We need to understand those warnings so that way we understand how to move forward, what we need to do. We need to find our Aaron or our Moses to support us through these fears, or even be that support to someone else. It's important that we face our fears. We talk about our fears. We open up to what we're struggling about in community so that way others can hear that and say, hey, I'm struggling with that too. Let's walk through faith together in this. Sometimes we just need that. Eleanor Roosevelt said, you gain strength, courage, confidence by every experience in which you really stop and look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I've lived through this horror. I've lived through these struggles, and I can take the next thing that comes along. So we need to name our fears, understand them better through conversation in the community. But I'm not saying that your fears will disappear by naming them, giving them weird names or legitimate names. But my hope is that you will not keep those fear names when you're making a choice. You will be calm. You will stand still, like Moses says. Next, we need to choose faith over fear through a growing faith. We need to continue growing our faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God alone. Careful study of God's word is of primary importance in developing a strong faith. God knows us. He knows every part of us, and he wants us to rely on him. And by reading and hearing the scriptures, we're able to understand him better and grow that confident faith that sees fears just as a smoke alarm, just as that warning to alert us to action, and then we'll let faith guide that action. In the darkest of nights, I am reminded that God created me. Every weird sweating spot part of me. And he loves me, and he will walk with me through whatever trials. He will show his love, like they said in the song, to me. But I first have to have that faith. I first have to start that. He requires us to move forward. He requires us to do action. The Bible is clear that faith does not mature without trials, without us moving forward. In the beginning of a book that I'm reading right now for the second time, because I just love it so much, it's called Come Matter Here by Hannah Bruncher. And it's an invitation to be here in a getting there world. That's why I read it so many times. Hannah talks about, she says, I think something bigger is always happening, but it's never how I narrate in my own head. It never is. You'll meet people you never imagined and places you'll never go, but it starts with a choice and then a step in faith. Make a choice in faith, take a step, make a choice, take a step. It's the rhythm of life. You may not get your answer until you make your choice out of faith and a step. She talks a lot about in this book about how we spend a lot of time waiting for signs, waiting for God to tell us what direction to go, what step to make, what action to go. And all he really wants us is to make a choice and take a step. And he will be right there beside us, no matter what choice or decision or step we're making. And I find that so comforting, because it takes some of that anxiety out. That's when my anxiety starts taking control of me, is when I'm so concerned about what's the right thing to do. What am I supposed to be doing? Where am I supposed to be going? I've done it a lot when I've transitioned jobs. I've got so nervous that it paralyzed me to not even make an action at all, where God's like, just make up your mind already, Megan. Come on, just make a choice. We'll live through it together. I'll walk with you. I'll guide you through faith through this. God walks with each one of us through these situations. And as we learn to obey God's word, it will saturate our thoughts. We will find each trial, even though there may be fear, even though you may be scared, we will be able to let faith be our guide. And these trials are just like stepping stones to help strengthen our faith. And it gives us the ability to say what Eleanor Roosevelt said, I've lived through this. And now I can take the next thing that comes. I want to close with one of my favorite Bible verses. It's from Philippians 4:7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts, your minds, in Jesus Christ. I pray that you look at your situations in life and understand God standing right there beside you. And that fear, that anxiety, that stress, that worry that you fear is just your body's warning signal, your smoke detector. Say, hey, Megan, you need to make an action here. You need to make a choice. You make a decision. And let your faith in God guide you. And rely on God that he will show you that love through those decisions. My Sunday school class is getting ready to start next week, a study on unafraid, living with courage and hope in uncertain times. It's by Adam Hamilton. And if you are interested in joining us with this study, we are in the classroom that's right across from the bathroom with the comfy couches. We're going to start this next week. And it talks about fear of finances, fear of loneliness, fear of insignificant failure, disappointing others, fear of crime and racism and politics. So if you would like to join us, we're starting next week, 10:45, in the couch room, I guess you would call it. So if you wouldn't mind closing in prayer with me. Lord of life and conqueror of death, you have shown us how to confront our fears each day. From the terrors of night, the future we cannot see, you have promised to be with us. We thank you for this community we have together, the strength we have from each other. Now let us go unafraid with your love for our neighbors, and in your strong name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.